Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show, and today I have another great guest on. Her name is Dr. Natalie Reed. So, hi, Dr. Natalie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you very much.
Now, what I'd like to do, I'm going to call you Dr. Natalie, okay?
Oh, please call me whatever you like.
What I'd like to do, Dr. Natalie, is have you kind of explain a little bit about yourself, kind of like give a quick little bio of yourself, and then we're going to talk about your book.
Okay. Well, what I do is I work as a life coach, and I work one-on-one with people to help them make changes, and I use the secrets of quantum physics in my practice.
When people hear the word quantum physics, they kind of go, what exactly is that? So can you maybe explain a little bit about what quantum physics really happens to be?
Absolutely. And, you know, it really sounds daunting. And people's eyes usually glaze over and they think, oh, my God, it's going to be really hard and I don't understand it and it's beyond me. It's really not. You know, I studied quantum physics for my dissertation, but my background is psychology, not science. And what quantum physics is just the study of the movement inside the atom. So the atoms that make up all the molecules that make up everything in our world.
So when people want to relate to quantum physics, they have to go back to the basic atom in order for it to work for them? Or how do you work that into the teachings that you do?
Well, what it is that the way the subatomic particles, and people would recognize electrons and neutrons and protons, they would recognize those names. There's a whole host of other little entities inside the atom. And atoms are too small for even a person can never see an atom or anything smaller than an atom. But the way the scientists track their movement, we can know exactly what they're doing. And the little subatomic particles operate what we would call magically. They do things that seem like magic. And what I do is I explain that to people so they can understand that that's really how the entire physical reality is made up. And when you know that it's all really magical and that you can change things with your thoughts and your own subconscious mind, then I put those two together, and it gives you a powerful tool.
Sounds really interesting. Now, the book that you wrote is called Five Steps to Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want. So let's talk a little bit about your book.
Okay. Well, I wrote the book to help people so they would know. First of all, most people don't know about quantum physics, even though most of the discoveries were made almost 100 years ago. It's not common knowledge, and I thought if people understood the way everything works at the subatomic level, they could make their lives easier and more fun and successful and all those good things.
If people have a hard time, though, understanding quantum physics, because truly most people really do not relate to quantum physics. You know, they sit there and go, well, I'm not a scientist, and I don't understand how all of this works together. And, you know, to me, it's just a big, you know, couple words.
Exactly. And the thing is, for example, I'll give some examples so people can really get a sense of what's going on here. One of the things is that they do experiments in quantum physics. They do experiments either in the physical reality, in thought, but they always back it up with mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing to do with mathematics. I don't want to have any. So my book has zero math in it. I mean, that part of it is not. There's also a statistical aspect of it, like what are the chances of this or that happening. I find that very boring, so that's not in my book either.
Yeah,
but what I find fascinating is, for example, there's an experiment that was done first in 1803, and it proved that light operates as if an invisible wave of energy, like sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that scientist, Thomas Young, proved that light operates like sound, like an invisible wave of energy. But then Einstein proved that light operates like particles, and he got the Nobel Prize for it. And so it's like, well, is it a wave or a particle? And that's one of the paradoxes in quantum physics. When you don't observe a particular experiment, the light or electrons or whatever subatomic particle you're studying does operate as if it's an invisible wave of energy. You know, really think of sound. You can't see it, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you do observe it, and there are ways to observe that's not really, you know, you can't look at it with your eye, but you can observe it, it becomes a solid piece of matter, a little piece of substance. It's something physical. And so what this really means is that what we focus on, what we put our attention to, what we really observe with our hearts and minds is what happens in our life. That's what becomes real. And when we don't focus on it, it's just an invisible wave of energy.
Okay, so the book, The Secret, has actually got then a lot to do with quantum physics. They just don't really say a lot of that in the book.
No, they don't. You know, I didn't. I kind of glanced at the book. I did see the movie after my book was already being in. It was in production, actually, when I saw the movie. And what they do, I kind of have three steps before and one step after what they do. They really focus on visualization of something that you want and using your thoughts to create it. And my approach is somewhat different in that I want to clear out what's in the way first. So yeah, I don't think it always works to just think of the positive thing, because sometimes you have contradictory messages in your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And for people, it's our subconscious mind that creates the reality, in that what we have in our subconscious mind is what focuses our energy. So, for example, if you say you want a job, but what you really want is to whine and get a lot of attention from your friends and kind of be dramatic about it, and that's really what you want, you won't get the job, and you'll get instead all this other stuff. And so what I do is I have you work on what you truly want, see what's in your subconscious mind, and if you have, for example, a belief that you can't get this job you want, you won't be able to get that, you won't be able to get it. So there's a lot of things to address before you get to the place of really putting your energy into what it is you do want.
A lot of times people, you know, when The Secret first came out, people jumped on that book left and right, and then they had the movie come out, and then they had all the people who had something to do with the movie be, you know, interviewed by, you know, just about anybody and everybody that they could. And a lot of times when people come to me and I do the readings for them, one of the big things that they say is, well, I've tried The Secret, and I ask, you know, well, what did you think? Well, it doesn't work. And it's like, well, what do you mean it doesn't work? And they would start to say, well, it doesn't work. You know, I said this, I did this, I believe this, and it just didn't happen. And so I would ask them kind of the question that I kind of asked you about it, which I ask in a different way, but the question would be that I asked them is, how does your conscious mind and subconscious mind relate to what you're saying? Does it feel comfortable? Is there static there? Do you someplace inside you believe that you're not supposed to have it? You know, those are the kind of questions I would ask, because I wanted to kind of know where their mind was, because most people, unless they've studied this or they know how to meditate and they know how to really, you know, actively visualize in their heart and soul what they want, they have a very, very hard time with creating things in their life.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Nancy. I think a lot of times, and I think The Secret, the good thing about The Secret, and I think it was really helpful to a lot of people, is to hold on a wide exposure to that the subconscious mind is valuable and can make things happen. I think that was really good. But the problem to me is, if you simply follow the steps in The Secret, that's great, but what if everything starts going wrong? What do you do? Suddenly, I wrote an article that was published about, in the article, it's like, okay, you get a speeding ticket on the way home, and when you get home, you realize you can't find your Visa card, and then your spouse is mad at you for being so careless. What happens then? You start thinking, oh, no, I'm attracting the negative now. I'm, you know, that whole law of attraction thing. Now I'm in the dark, you know, I'm in the bad side of the force. And you don't, how do you get back? I mean, the only tool you have is to watch the movie again. And so what I do is I don't go there. I start with a real step-by-step process to, first you eliminate everything that's going to get in your way, so that when you put in the new positive program, it's going to take hold.
Mm-hmm.
So you first identify what is in the subconscious mind, because as people, the subconscious mind is what creates our world. As you know, you have subconscious thoughts and feelings, attitudes and beliefs and choices and decisions. Those are subconscious. We're not aware of them. And when we can become aware of them, we can pick and choose whether we really want these. Does this belief serve me? If it doesn't serve, I show you there's a technique to change your belief so that you can have what you want. And you always want to change your belief and not what you want, because your belief is there to serve you.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the part I don't think people understand. I think they've been programmed for so long, Dr. Natalie, to think that they can't have really what they want, that when they start to come close to it, I think it makes them nervous. And then they go, what if I'm going to get it now? What if I'm going to get it? And it's like they almost get in their way.
It's true. And that's one of the things you have to look at. I think of people who are suddenly famous, like our new American Idol, for example. That's a big thing to have to be able to accept. To be able to accept a really big success like that in these very young people. If your listeners watch American Idol, I think most of America does. These are very young people who are able to be up in front of people, but this is a big crowd, and we're talking, the loser's only 17 and he got 44 million votes, so that's going to be hard for him to beat himself up over, for
mm-hmm.
one thing. But when, those people are willing to accept it, and if you want something, you have to first look and make sure that it's something you could really accept, and you need to work with yourself. I have a number of techniques in the book and different meditations and sort of a step-by-step process so you can prepare yourself to have it. If it's something that you really seriously don't want because you won't be able to handle it, for example, if one of the American Idol candidates really couldn't stand being on stage or didn't want to be famous or didn't, was too nervous, then it wouldn't work. Then they wouldn't be able to have it. But see, all these young people were willing to be up on stage in front of all of America.
If they can be brave enough to go in front of Simon.
What?
If they're brave enough to go in front of Simon,
with his harsh criticisms, where he really can put his foot in his mouth sometimes, I usually agree with him, though. I just think he expresses it in a very, he could be nicer about the way he says it. But, I think that's really a big thing. And when I look at people who are successful, I realize that, some people are born into a successful family, for example. You think of somebody like Carly Simon, whose family is the publishing Simon from Simon & Schuster,
mm-hmm.
and she became a famous musician. And so I think about somebody like that, where she probably was raised, and I really don't know, but she certainly was raised in a successful, privileged life, and that would help her beliefs be that, she could succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But then also people who were beaten down as children, who were told you'll never amount to anything, you're worthless. People who had bad, negative childhoods, they can also succeed. And that's really my message. You can go in and change those messages that you got and turn them into the kind of messages that we hope Carly Simon got, because you can go in and change those. You can erase that negative programming and change it to a more positive programming, so that will allow you to succeed.
And I agree with you 100%, because, again, when I do a lot of the readings, I tell people, just because you have been told this your entire life doesn't mean that you have to accept it, especially if you're not comfortable with it.
That's right. And just because somebody said it doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
It's not true. And certainly, parents who are abusive are damaged people who are pushing it off on you, but that they're not correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the right way for them to have dealt with their own problems. But it certainly, you want to, when you're an adult, you want to look back and say, okay, I'm going to pick and choose the things that I got that were positive and are helpful. I'm going to hold on to those. The things that are really tearing me down, I'm going to let go of and get rid of them and decide they're not true, they're not valid.
And unfortunately, most of the people have the hard time with that let go part there.
Absolutely. It is hard. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. You know,
and
like
you want to, what you want to do is fix it. So you want to keep working on it, working on yourself, and see what's wrong with me, and let me fix it. And lots of times it's just a matter of walking away and say, okay, you know what, that I'm not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of draw a line, and you say, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore.
Do you think that the meditation is real important as people are trying to change what they've got inside versus what they really have inside?
You know, I think some people who don't find meditation, they're uncomfortable with it. So I want to say that you don't have to meditate in order to be successful. However, I think it's a wonderful tool. I think it's a wonderful tool. It makes things go faster. And I do give instructions on how to meditate, how to follow the sort of step-by-step. I just kind of did the basic things so anybody can pick up the book, and if they've never meditated or they've never been successful at it, it can work beautifully because it's very simple and straightforward. And it doesn't matter if you don't see something, which I think most people have trouble with. You don't have to see anything when you meditate. You just have to feel.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Natalie, can you give us the name of your book again and then tell our listeners where they can find it?
Sure. It's called 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want. It's available at Barnes & Noble and wherever books are sold. Also on my website, which is the 3 W's and aquantumlife.com. And don't forget the A, aquantumlife.com.
Okay, so they can get it from there, too?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. If somebody wanted to make an appointment to talk with you and they don't live in the San Francisco Bay Area, do you do it by phone?
Absolutely, yes. I do. I talk to a lot of clients over the phone.
Okay, now do they get a hold of you through your website?
Yes.
There's okay.
a button that you click and it'll send me an email. You know, it'll pop up that email thing and then you send me an email. And then we'll be in touch by email and give you the number and we'll make an appointment and everything.
Okay, which can eat. When somebody comes to see you, whether it's in person or by, you know, by phone, about how long does it take?
You know, it depends on the person, what the change is, you know, what they're trying to achieve. It could take, you know, somebody could make changes right away. In a few sessions, it could take, if they wanted to take a long time and they had lots of things, it could take longer. It really depends on each person. There's not a, it's a customized program, so it depends on what the goals of the individual person is.
What is the youngest age that you work with?
Any age. I work with adults. I have not worked with children, so I work with adults, but there's no age requirement or anything from, I work with people who are into their 70s and older and also people in their 20s.
Do you ever work with families?
I do work with families, but over the phone it's kind of tricky. Because unless they have, you know, a phone for everybody, and then we can't, they're not all talking at once, and, you know, it's a little awkward. So often
also,
with families that would be in person.
You also have part of your bio that says mind-body connection. Can you explain that?
Well, that's really just a connection between what you visualize, what you think, what you feel, and what happens in your body. So that certain healing, you want to visualize. You can visualize things to work out. I had an experience recently that I could share with your listeners, where I used my technique myself. Because some people ask me, "Do you use this?" And of course, I do. I had an experience about 6 or 8 months ago. My foot started hurting a lot, so I ended up getting an x-ray, and it turned out that I had surgery years before, or about a year before, and they put screws in, and one of the screws broke, and it broke my foot, so that there was a broken bone, there's like a gap, and the doctor told me that with bones, they don't just heal back up, you have to use a stimulator, an electronic little device. And he said the device cost $1,800, and surprise, the insurance didn't cover it. And so I thought, no. And I immediately decided, no, I'm not spending $1,800 on something that it's not going to be something I can ever use again. It wouldn't be very elegant to do that. And I just visualized the bone being healed. And, you know, I didn't know exactly what it was supposed to look like, but I just pictured a smooth, like a plate, you know, just all smooth, healed. And I didn't focus on how it would get healed. I just focused on it being healed. Mm-hmm. And it was about 2 or 3 days later, I was visiting a friend wearing the convalescent boot again that I had to wear, and she asked me what was going on. And when I told her, she said, "Oh, I have one of those devices from when I had neck surgery last year, remember? You can have mine." So just like that,
mm-hmm.
it was solved. And so, and I used the device, and my foot was healed, and I visualized to do that to make it heal faster and smoother and better.
Sometimes when people visualize, they visualize something one way, and they still get the end result, like what you're talking about, but they don't quite understand that it's a good result because it didn't happen exactly the way that they, in their mind, believed it was going to.
You know, that's one of the things that I do address in the book. You want to have lots of ways to get there and be open to it coming in a whole different way than you expected, because lots of times your higher self or God and Goddess or whoever it is you think of as the divinity, they have a better plan. That's going to be better than, it's going to be nicer for you and easier, and, you know, it's going to be more. And so you don't want to be too, you don't want to be too stuck on it being a certain way. I do talk about this in the book where you don't want to just say, okay, it has to be this way. I know this is how I'm going to get. You don't want to do that because you don't want to limit the way it can come to you. And if they have a better plan that's going to be nicer, you know, I say, great, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I want. I want, you know, in this case, I wanted my foot healed, and I would be happy however it was healed. And so I was. You have to be open. You don't want to be too rigid about how the miracle can come to you, and you want to allow it to come in any wonderful way that it wants to.
Which, and I think that's very true, because, like I said, people's minds have a tendency to play kind of games with them somehow, but yet the end result can actually turn out to be quite good.
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't need to be in control of these things. You know, you can trust that you put out what you want and trust that it's coming to you, and it's going to come in a really great way. And it's okay if you don't know. I mean, it's okay if it's a surprise. And some, you know, it's often that way. So many things. In fact, speaking, I'll go back to American Idol. As soon as I heard David Cook, who did win, talk about the fact that he wasn't planning to audition for American Idol, it was sort of an accident, I knew he was going to win, because that's always seems to be. whenever you hear that, well, like, wasn't really going to do this, but then I did. I already know the next sentence is going to be, and then this wonderful thing happened, because that's where you're allowing that. You know, he went to support his brother who was auditioning, and then because he had been interviewed, they said, "Oh no, now you have to audition. You were interviewed." And he said, "Okay, I will." And here he won.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel he was being pulled to that it was that whole miracle was a gift, and that he was willing to go along. You know, he didn't say, "No, I wasn't going to audition, so I'm not going to." You know, he's willing to try. Why not? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for us to hold things lightly. We can't, you know, sometimes people want to hang on to control so they feel safer, but it really isn't a safe position to control. That's really a position of not trusting. And if you just trust instead that it's coming.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. I tell people, trust that it's coming. You know, put it out there and trust that it's coming. And it may not come in 24 hours, you know. It may take a little bit of time, but I also remind them that it didn't take them 24 hours to get where they're at.
Exactly. And, you know, trusting that it's coming is really a beautiful gift, because I wouldn't want to say, okay, well, here, I want a new whatever, and I'm going to now control. That's not very fun. It's much more fun to have it show up as this wonderful miracle whenever it comes. And the secret behind trusting that it's coming is knowing that you're loved. I mean, we are loved. I refer to them as they. I mean, God and Goddess, whoever you think of, they're up there or wherever they are. They love us. It's like the way we would love our children or our pets or whatever. And we want them to have everything they want and make them happy. And that's how the love they have for us is so much more. So, of course, if they see we want whatever, of course they want to bring it to us. But, too. They want to surprise us, and they wanted it to be fun. And so we don't want to get in there and be too controlling, because that kind of takes the joy out of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?
Absolutely. That was one of the things that made me write the book.
Yeah, it was really a good movie. A lot of people went to see it, though, and didn't get it.
You know, I just had a man recently tell me at a book signing that, actually he emailed me after he read my book, and he said, your book should be a prerequisite, because he said, I saw What the Bleep, I didn't understand it, then I read your book, then I saw it again, I totally got it. And so, for me, I liked the parts in What the Bleep where the scientists were talking, because I really loved that part.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually doing something else in the meantime when I was watching it. And for me, I wrote this book because when I saw What the Bleep, I thought, okay, it doesn't really tell people how to use these wonderful secrets. It doesn't
right.
really give you anything, you know, the nuts and bolts. And my sister and her husband loved the movie and watched it 5 times, and I realized, oh, people are really hungry for this information. So when I went to look for a book to send her, I couldn't find one that had what I wanted, you know, what I wanted her to know about it. So I decided to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
She loves knowing that I always tell that. And it makes her, she loves my book. And I think she feels honored that I did it for her, but I really did. It was really about, because, you know, I figured she is like many people who is, you know, somebody drawn to the material but not able to really put their finger on, okay, I see all these things are happening, but what do I do in my life to make that work for me?
Mm-hmm. I thought the movie was great. I mean, I sat there and I thought, man, this is really cool. I just know people are not getting it, but it really makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you're in the field and like me, too. I mean, I knew it, but I realized people don't know. Okay, so when you see these wonderful miracles that are happening in the quantum with inside the atom, you don't. It doesn't really, there's not a direct path for people to necessarily know, okay, that means in my life I can do this. And so that's why I put it all in the book.
Yeah, your book, I would think, would be very helpful for a lot of people who, you know, kind of have an idea, but they can't quite grasp on, you know, the steps that it really takes. So, I mean, it sounds like your book would be a really good stepping stone for people to, you know, attain what they really need.
Yeah, I had this really nice reviewer from Midwest Book Review who called it a seminal study and guide for the general reader. And it really gives you the real basics, maybe questions you don't want to ask that you're embarrassed to say, I don't really know how to do this. I just went through and kind of told it for, I wrote the book for anybody, not necessarily people involved in metaphysics or people who are knowing they're involved in spiritual growth, but just for anybody who can read, who can pick up the book and use the techniques, learn about the techniques, see how the quantum works, put it together, and create success with it.
I think that's a great idea. So let's give out the name of your book again.
It's 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want.
Dr. Natalie, do you think some people are kind of confused with the life that they want? I mean, they have the big, grandiose ideas, but do you think they're a little confused with just, you know, life in general?
I think, yes, I absolutely do. I think that the biggest secret to begin with is you have to know what you want. If you don't know what you want, you're not going to get it. And I recently met somebody who said she's looking for a relationship, but she didn't know really what she wanted. Well, you've got to take some time, you know, think about it and think, what kind of a partner do I want? You know, what really will work for me? I mean, this person is very active and very physical, and she likes to do lots of things with lots of people. So she'd want to be with someone who's very social, but I'm not even sure that she realized that. You know, so the first step is really stopping to think, okay, you know, what do I really want exactly? You know, a job, but not job title, but what's my experience? When I walk in the door, how do I want to feel? How do I want to, how would I want to be respected and treated by other people? Some of those basic things that are sort of vague that people don't normally think about, those are important.
I think they're very important. Do you think it would be easier for people, Dr. Natalie, if they first wrote down what they know for sure that they don't want, and then see how they can change it to be a do want?
that is a wonderful way to work. That works for some people. It's whatever resonates with you. If that method will help you figure out what you do want, then that's a great way to start. To say, well, I know I don't want a really long commute with the crabby boss and a lot of tedious work. Okay, so that's good. You can eliminate that. And then that would help you say, okay, well, I want a place where it's easy for me to get to, where people are nice and respect me, and where the work is interesting and challenging. So you could back into it that way. Absolutely. It's whatever works for each person. I mean, some people, I mean, certainly I'm sure you and I know what I want. I could tell you right now, I could sit here right off the top of my head, list exactly what I want, because I'm used to working this way. But people who aren't used to it, they might want to back in that way by saying, well, I know what I don't want.
And see, that I've used with people because they have this fear of failure, you know, because they've done things over and over and over again and not really turned out with it. So I said to them, well, do you know what you don't want? And they go, well, yeah, I don't want to be a failure anymore. I don't want blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, okay, now we have accomplished the idea of what you don't want. Now, how can we change it? What words can we use to make it into your do-want list? And it tends to work a little bit easier for people because they're so prone to be in that negative part of everything, and that's kind of what they're going to expect. And it's like, no, you don't want to keep expecting the negative because that is exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah, whatever you expect is what you're going to get. I tend to attract people who sort of are working on issues and they kind of do know in general what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't used, although I can see that's a wonderful technique, I haven't really used that particular technique because most people have an idea what they want and I help them define more closely and get really a precise picture. And even when you have a really precise picture, you want to be loose about it. You don't want to hang on to it and make it too heavy. And it's not about being desperate that he be 6'1". He has to be 6'1". You know, no, not necessarily, because if you fall in love with somebody and he's 6'2", or he's 5'10", it's going to be okay. You know, you can't hold a particular detail to be so important that it becomes almost a desperate thing. That is going to spoil that.
Yeah, that will spoil the outcome without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Now, in your course of working, you also worked with different corporations on their management team, and you can name some of them if you like, but how did you help them with their management team?
Well, a lot of work I did with the different corporations, I worked as a project manager. And so I was able to, I kind of used my own methods of making miracles happen so that things that they wanted to have happen, happened. And often people would say, okay, well, if something's impossible, we'll ask Natalie to do it because she can always make it work. So I kind of just did my thing, and I would share with people indirectly what exactly I was doing. But, you know, things like the carpet company is moved and they couldn't make any new carpet and this person really wanted this particular carpet. And, you know, I just work with them and I use my techniques. And when it all came out to be said and done that only two jobs were bumped up and mine was one of them. And so it's like I always know it's going to be a success, and whatever project I'm doing, I decide ahead of time that it's going to be successful. All the work I ever did for all these companies always came in, you know, on time and on budget and really successful. And I sometimes shared a little of what I was doing, but not always.
Do you think that some of the corporations are a little bit open better now than they were before to some of the ideas that you might have now versus, you know, 10 years ago?
Yes, and I do, Nancy, and I think the main reason that people are starting to open up more is because, number one, it works, and companies are about money. That's mm-hmm. their whole thing. They're in business to make money. And so if you can show them whatever you want to show them and it works, they're going to be open to it. You know, it's really just a black and white thing when you explain, okay, here's the thing. If we have the management team and everybody's on board and truly expecting this kind of success, and we're all visualizing it, we've gotten all the things out of the way that would get in the way of our success, everyone's visualizing, they see it works and they make lots of money. What's not to like? You know, of course they are going to be more open to it. And I think it's more acceptable these days than you know, say 20, 30 years ago when that kind of stuff was, you know, it was like Earth Day. When it started 30, 40 years ago, everybody was poo-pooing that there were problems with using up every possible thing on Earth. And now people are starting to wake up. So it's like the whole world is starting to awaken.
It's about time.
Yeah. Hello, wake up. Wake up and smell the coffee, as they say, right?
Let's give out the name of your book again, Dr. Natalie, and tell the people where they can get it.
Okay, it's called 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want. You can get it wherever books are sold or at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, through my website, aquantumlife.com, and don't forget the A, quantumlife.com.
Do you want to spell quantum for them? Because
sure.
Some people...
Quantum is quantum. And by the way, quantum, it's a word that we think of meaning big, and it's but in the use of quantum physics, it's about discrete pieces of energy called quanta. That's how the name came about. This scientist named Max Planck discovered that energy is not a steady stream like water flowing. Mm-hmm. It's little blips of energy and little packets, he called it. And so came up with the word quanta to mean little quantified pieces. And that's how quantum physics came about, that name.
That's kind of neat. Do you find, Dr. Natalie, that a lot of people that have been adopted, and I don't know if you work with them, but if you have you found them to have a harder time with looking forward to things, or do they tend to hold on to, why did I have to be adopted?
You know, I think I have not worked directly with people. I have worked very indirectly with a couple of people who are adopted. But what I can say is I've worked with lots of people who had abusive childhoods. And so, and some of those people would have been much better off had their parents said goodbye and they were adopted by a nice family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't want to hold on to whatever happened in your childhood. You know, once you've survived it and you're now an adult, you can look back on it and, you know, take the pieces that are good and let go of the other stuff. And just decide for yourself, you know, you're here and you make your choice about what you want. There's no need to hold on to that. And you can go back in meditation. I have a series of steps to do inside my book about going back and as an adult and dealing with whatever issue, you know, whether it was an abusive situation or in the case of feeling abandoned by the birth parents or whatever it is, you can go back and change that in a meditation. And just decide, okay, it's not going to affect me anymore. I'm going to make my own life. Because I have my own life now, and whatever happened, you know, with my birth mom, you know, if she was 15 or whatever, she couldn't keep me. I mean, you know, there's reasons. The reason for the original parents not to have the child is 99.44% the chance that they knew out of love they couldn't be a good parent. So they were out of love giving their child up.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you with that, but I've not been adopted. You know, so when I do readings for some of the people, they will tell me that they've been adopted. And there's always a lot of excess baggage, as
I call
it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's hard to... But, you know, adults who were abused as children, that's tough, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's your own parents who were betraying a trust that, you know, makes no sense. People who never really had a childhood because they were so, you know, hurt by their parents who were supposed to love them. So, you know, I think everybody has some kind of trauma, some kind of stuff in their childhood. I don't really know a lot of people whose childhood was really quite nice and put them in a really good space to create things. I mean, I've never worked with anyone that had. I've worked with people who had very privileged lives, but they had other problems.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a man who had never had to work for anything. I mean, anything he ever wanted, he just got. That is not a real plus. You know, you don't ever strive. You know, you never get to really. You know, you're missing that muscle. You've never worked that muscle that says, "I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make this happen." He never had that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, you always look and think, oh, someone else has it better. People who are, you know, people who are adopted, as you say, think, you know, oh, I wish I had my real parents. no, a lot of these real parents were not good parents. So they're actually better off with the adopted parents.
Mm-hmm. I use a technique of them actually sitting down without any kind of interruptions whatsoever and to think back to the very first time in their life that they can remember any hurt, pain, anger, or guilt. And then they write themselves a letter basically from that point of their life all the way through to the day they're writing the letter. And they write it without stopping. And they can be mad, they can cry, they can do whatever they want, but they don't stop writing no matter what. And the end result is that they put it away because nobody's going to see it. So I tell them it's like time for total truth, total honesty from your heart, because most people have a hard time with that one. You know, knowing that somebody else might see it, but without anybody else seeing it, they're more susceptible to opening the door and letting their true emotions flow. And then the end result is that after they put it down for like 4 hours to 8 hours, they pick it up, they reread it, and then they burn it. And it's the symbolism of burning it, of letting it all go, that tend to make the people, you know that it's just excess stuff that they have that they don't have to carry around anymore.
Yeah, that's a good technique. And in fact, in the book, I talk about writing, and no one has to see this. You're writing, you want to tell yourself the truth or it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to write something that will look good if someone else read it, because that's not going to help you.
Right.
That's your story that you're telling out in the world now. So this is about being truthful. And I think that technique you're using sounds great. And I think it's really about making a choice to say, okay, this happened and it was bad or it was whatever and I didn't get all the love I wanted, but I got enough because here I am functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And just to draw a line and say, okay, you know what, that is not, you know, my past is not going to create my present or my future. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work with the past creating it. When you see in the quantum, you are creating it every moment. The moment you experience it is when you're creating it. So you can just have a new moment of now, right now, and create a brand new future for yourself that has nothing to do with your past.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people, too, that you can't really change the past. You can learn from it, you can understand it, and you can let go of it.
Well, I do have a technique whereby you can undo what happened and redo it, and you just decide, okay, that's not going to bother me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just go back into meditation. You can change it. You can, in the meditation, say, you know, hold it right there, because you're going to be doing it as an adult. In the meditation, when the person, say, is going to tell you this terrible thing that's going to scar you for life, you can go, hold it right there. You can't talk to me like that. That's not the right thing to do, or whatever you want to do. And so you can change it and make that mean something to you. But it's really, when it comes down to his choice, to choose that, okay, this is not going to bother me anymore. It's not going to get in my way.
That's the part I think that some people have a hard time with, because for whatever reason, Dr. Natalie, they think that it's there and it's got to stay. And
yeah, see, these are all things that are tied to the quantum, because when you see what happens in the quantum is things are here one moment and they suddenly change and become something completely different in the next moment with no stimulus. I mean, there's a little electron, it's all of a sudden it starts changing on its own and there's nothing poked it or did anything and all of a sudden it's completely different and it disappears here and it shows up over there. So it's very magical when you realize that's inside every atom, that's inside every molecule in all our physical world. Then we can say, okay, well, then I can change too. I don't have to be, I'm not tied to this past. I don't have to be that way. I can just decide right now, okay, that's always bothered me before, but it's not going to bother me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't serve me to have that issue, whatever it is, and I'm going to drop it. And they can really just decide it. And that was why I wanted people to know about the quantum, because when they see how it works, it really makes a lot of sense. Like, okay, why am I holding on to this? It doesn't really work this way in the world. You know, we think of the world working the way Newton's laws worked. You know, what comes up must go down and all those Newton's laws. But really, it doesn't work that way at the subatomic level at all. Newton's laws are not obeyed at the subatomic level. Gravity is not important force in the subatomic world. And there is no time in the subatomic world because subatomic particles go backwards and forwards in time all the time. So if every molecule has filled up with these things that go backwards and forwards in time, certainly we can go backwards and forwards in time too, and we can go back and just go, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. And it really is, I think that the choice to just decide, okay, that's not going to be a problem for me anymore. I'm just changing my mind, and that's it. And then just decide, okay, that's it. And remind yourself, no, that used to be a problem, but that's not a problem for me anymore.
That would be good. People could actually get out there and be who they need to be and all they need to be if they could just remember that.
Exactly. And you know, you can do little reminders, little piece of paper. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't have to do this. You know, oh, yeah, I don't have to feel sorry for myself all the time. Or, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not a loser. And, you know, just whatever the little messages that says I'm a winner or, you know, I respect myself, you know, I can succeed. All these different little reminders, affirmations that you're going to be very carefully cultivating and really seriously doing the process. But it really comes down to making the decision that, you know, I want to be done with this. Mm-hmm. I just don't want this in my life anymore.
Do you think, Dr. Natalie, that you will be ever working with children?
Oh, I love children. I mean, sure, I'd be open to working with children. I just haven't had children in my practice so far.
See, I think the children that are here now are really having a tough time with the energies and everything that we have going on. So,
absolutely. And it's you know, there's so much going. I mean, it's, you know, I think about when I was young, what was going on in my life, and I think if all that was going on in my life when I was young, what was happening at this time? Oh boy. That'd be tough because there's so much of this, there's so much stimulus that's really negative in the world right now that it would be really hard to handle if you didn't have a good, secure home.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, I have a granddaughter who is 8 going on 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the kids of today, they are kind of hard to deal with. And a lot of times the parents just don't know how, or they just give up, and then they say, okay, we'll just give them drugs. Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's so awful. Yeah, it's really terrible. And then what happens is they eventually have to get off the drugs, and then they can start to deal with things. I think, you know, if you can certainly work with children, and children are much more, they're much easier to work with in terms of this. If you say, okay, do you believe, you know, work on beliefs, and they get that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have all the messages. They're not cynical, you know. They're still open to magic.
Right.
They're still willing to believe that, okay, I can be here and then I can be there. I mean, they're okay with that. Whereas the cynical adults, they think, oh, no, that can't happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they tell the kids. That can't
right.
happen.
It's and like... and if you work with kids to say, okay, you know, when you hear something negative, where somebody's limiting you in any way, you know, you want to say cancel, because anything that goes into your subconscious mind becomes part of the pattern that creates your world, and you don't want negative messages in there.
Right, which is true. I have a nonprofit organization called Child's Miracle Mind.
Oh, wonderful.
And it has a leg to it called the School of Now, because I don't like the school systems that we have still.
I wonder
old,
what. No, I
holding
totally
up.
Agree with you.
Yeah,
no, I totally agree with you. Amazing, yeah.
So I came up with a few other things. But a Child's Miracle Mind is basically using all the metaphysical techniques, knowledge, and wisdom that we already have within us
mm-hmm.
to help these children who are here now having such a hard time with struggle not to have to be put on those drugs, or if they're on those drugs, to help them to gradually be taken off of them so they can actually be who they are and all they can be.
Exactly, and experience life with their own senses and their own, you know, to not be deadened by drugs.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to hear about it, but it's like, well, you know, you really need to take note because these children are really our future here, and they are going to put this world back together. So do we want it put back together in a good way, or do we want to put back together in a bad way?
Well, it's the thing is, you know, I think it's sometimes, first of all, a lot of people revere doctors, and if they say, the doctor says she needs Ritalin, then they think, oh, I've got to do that. Well, you know, no, not necessarily, and you want to look at all the alternatives first, and drugs would be an absolute last resort. Although there are cases where drugs aren't the right thing, but it's not always the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's, you know, we don't want to do that drug people because it's expeditious. Like, oh, this is easier, we'll just give them drugs.
Right.
You know, that is a terrible approach.
See, and that's how they're approaching a lot of the things today with the kids. So
I'm aware of that. I'm shaking my head and shuddering and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, first of all, they're going to label whatever's going on with the child. They're going to put a label on the child, which can only be negative.
Right.
Only be negative. And then they're going to give them drugs.
Mm-hmm. It's really funny, the people that make the Ritalin and all of that are actually the same people that make the preservatives that they put in the food that are making these kids kind of strange.
Yeah, well, it is kind of all the whole thing. Well, all that stuff, well, you have to just be careful and try to eat naturally and healthy and try to, you know, just try to use our own common sense, too. And listen, you know, when somebody's suggesting drugs, what is the alternative? Before we go to drugs, what else could we do? Let's try everything else first.
I agree with that, but too many parents out there are so pressed for time. And
oh, I know. They both have jobs, and it's like, oh, well, I don't have time to sit, and, you know, we've got to get going. And, you know, it's awful.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Let's give them the name of your book again and your website and where else they can get your book.
Okay. It's 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want. It's available wherever books are sold, online and in the bookstores, Barnes & Noble. My website, aquantumlife.com, don't forget the A, and Amazon, and, you know, they sell it all over the place.
And again, if people want to get a hold of you, they can go right through your website to do that.
Yes, and my email is just natalie@aquantumlife.com, so it's not any mysterious technical. It's pretty straightforward. But there is a link on the website.
Great. Dr. Natalie, how long did it take you to write your book?
It's been about a 2.5-year process, but the first draft was about 6 months. I had used the topic for my PhD dissertation, but that was written in a very, very boring and academic way that nobody would want to read, even my friends. And it was always my intention to write a book that anyone with a high school education would be able to understand.
I think it's pretty important that people understand that there are many different ways out there to help themselves, you know, whether it's through the use of your 5 steps to the quantum life, or just a visualization, whatever it is that they need to get themselves in a positive frame of mind, they really need to try to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's certain things resonate with certain people and then don't resonate with others. So the people, and I knew that when I was writing my book, too, I thought the people with whom this book is going to resonate those people are going to find my book. And people for whom it wouldn't really mean, you know, wouldn't click and it wouldn't feel, well, that's not exactly it, they'll find a different book or they'll find a different method or they'll work with, you know, they'll work with you or they'll work with somebody else and they'll find, I mean, everyone's going to succeed and find their path.
Which is real important. The part of what the bleep do we know when they talked about the water, that was just totally, you know, great because I'd heard about that for many, many, many years. And then to see it in a movie was pretty cool.
Really cool, yeah.
You know, and people.
And, you know, and just thinking, when you give good messages, it really, I mean, when you give out love in any form, it really does go around the world. I mean, you smile at a stranger, and that really sends energy that goes everywhere.
People have forgotten how to smile, though. Have you noticed that?
Well, I don't know. To be honest, I'm one of those people that I smile at everybody whose eyes I meet. And they usually smile back, so I have to say I haven't noticed because I always smile at everyone. I'm a smiler. I admit
it. That's the way to be. You know, that's the way to be.
All my life I've done that. So it's just, and frankly, it's nice. And I've become aware of it now that I'm older that, you know, I put out energy to be a friend to whoever comes in my presence. And, you know, it doesn't always work, but I try to reach out in that way.
Well, I think it's real important that people understand that just about everybody out there really is their friend if they could just relax and allow it.
Yeah, and just be yourself. I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about what other people are thinking. Just you know, because how you are, that's the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the things that make you unique and distinct from others, that's your gift.
Dr. Natalie, can you give out the name of your book one more time, please?
Sure, Nancy. It's 5 Steps to a Quantum Life, How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want, and available anywhere.
Okay. Do you think people at some point in time get beyond the thought that they cannot create what they want?
You mean when you say get beyond it, you mean they start creating it, or
yeah, they start creating it knowing that they can.
Yes, I do think so. I mean, I certainly do. And you know, I want people to know that first of all, when you're using these techniques, it's always going to look like a coincidence, and you can never prove that you did it. It's like watching Jeopardy, and you say you knew that answer, and everybody looks at you. They don't really know if you knew it, but you know. You know whether before the contestant said it, whether you know whether you knew the answer. And so it's one of those things that you'll know that this is what you're visualizing. And I think you start, you know, it's not perfect. People are not perfect. So there'll be days when things are not going well and you realize, for me, I think, oh, you know, this is a day when I'm not doing very well today. And it's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be perfect. But I know when I need to, I can create whatever I want, and I know that. And I do, and it works every time. I mean, I really, and I open myself for surprises, so it can come in odd ways. I wanted to get a Prius to be environmentally correct, and it was a little bit more money than I had planned. But I really decided, okay, this is going to work. I got the car, and immediately another bill was cut in half, and it more than compensated for the additional price. So, you know, it comes out in a funny way, and you have to be open.
That's what I also believe. You have to be open in order to allow it. If you try to be too rigid, or you try to have it exact or perfect, whatever word you want to use, you may get that, but it could take a lot longer.
Well, and it might not be very satisfying for some reason. You know, like if I had wanted, if I hadn't been open about the car thing, you know, I might have been able to finagle so it was exactly the dollar amount, but this way I did better. I ended up with like an extra $100 a month that I, you know, so being open and you get a much better result.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that. We're going to give out the name of your book one more time, Dr. Natalie, and then our hour's almost up.
Okay, well, it's been so much fun talking to you, Nancy.
It's been great.
The book is 5 Steps to a Quantum Life. Subtitle is How to Use the Astounding Secrets of Quantum Physics to Create the Life You Want. Although you really only need to know 5 Steps to a Quantum Life. That's all you have to ask for at the bookstores. And available anywhere. My website is at quantumlife.com.
And your email address?
Natalie@aquantumlife.com.
Dr. Natalie, it's been great having you on the show. We'll have to have you back, and we will just pick on you a little bit next time. How's that?
That'd be wonderful, Nancy. It was great talking with you. I really enjoyed this.
Good luck, and again, it was very nice having you online with us.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Good luck to you, too.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. I hope everybody's Memorial weekend has been great. May God bless all of you. Have the rest of the week be pretty cool, and take care now. Bye, everybody.